All right, grab a seat. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the Rock Church. My name is Josh Whitney. I'm one of the pastors. Take a seat. We will get started. I can wait all night. Dory, we're starting. Good evening. Welcome to the Rock Church. My name is Josh Whitney. I'm one of the pastors. This is part two of our West Vision series. We are talking about our attitude tonight. We're talking about how we're going to Draper practically, and we have a couple guest speakers. So last week, we talked about why we're going to Draper, specifically how God has been leading us as pastors over the last 4 months to move this Friday night church into the Saturday night service in Draper. We talked about how to make godly decisions. We talked about how sometimes there can be a conflict between what we want and what God wants for our life. We talked about how there should be a lot of prayer, a lot of time in the Word, a lot of counsel, a lot of patience, and a lot of faith. If you missed the message last week, you should listen to it online. This has not been an easy decision, but we clearly sense that God is leading us. As pastors, we have come to the conclusion that God is leading this decision to strengthen our entire church. I think that there are things that we will bring that will bless Draper, the stuff that I talked about last week, the community, the shepherding, the servants, and there are things that Draper brings that's going to bless us as well. And when I gave last Friday's message on Saturday and Sunday, they burst into applause. They're pretty excited to have us, so thank you. And like I said last week, Billy and Brian and I have been blessed by the faith in this room. Talking with all you guys the last couple weeks, there's been tears, there's been people working through it. It was a faith-filled decision to plant this church. It's a faith-filled decision to go back to Draper. And your guys' faith and just really working through this with the Lord has blessed us to no end. And I am personally resolved to walking in faith in this move to Draper. So tonight, we're going to talk about how we're going to Draper. This is a super practical nuts and bolts teaching. I want to first start with our attitude. This is the definition of attitude. An attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. In this case, specifically, what should our attitude be as we move to Draper? I love this quote by Winston Churchill. He was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. They're being bombed by the Nazis all the time. Really bad, dark time in England's history. He said this, attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Attitude is critical. The Bible talks about our attitude as well. The classic passage that I think of when I think of attitude is Philippians chapter 2. It says that we should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. The thought is that the God of the universe humbled himself and became a man to save us. And Bill is going to be teaching on that passage in 2 weeks when we're in Draper. So the other passage I thought of was in Ephesians chapter 4. It talks about the unity that should exist among Christians. It talks about what our attitude should look like. So on your handout there, you have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. You can read there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So let's break this verse down. So therefore, whenever you see a therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, it's to mark a transition. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, all of this incredible doctrinal truth. Therefore, application, chapters 4, 5, and 6. You see that pattern in many of Paul's letters. In light of all of this amazing truth, how should we live? And then Paul reminds the church, he says, I am a prisoner for the Lord. I don't know many people that brag about being a prisoner. It's not something, I was in prison. Did you know that? It's not something we brag about. It's a mark of shame. But Paul brags about it. He's like, yeah, I was a prisoner for Jesus. He isn't ashamed of the fact that he went to jail for Jesus. And he's reminding this church of something very important. It can be a costly thing to follow Jesus Christ. You want to be faithful to Jesus, he might ask you to do things that are really hard. And then he says, walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This calling, this called, is referring to God picking us, God saving us, God's sovereign choice in election. In other words, God saved you, he picked you, you're his kid. Now go walk worthy of this gift that you have been given. We don't walk worthy to earn our salvation. God picked you. Jesus died for you. And now as Christians, we walk worthy of this amazing call that God has put on our life. And then when it says the word walk, it means your lifestyle, your conduct, your entire behavior, your whole life should be in response to God's amazing free gift of salvation. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So now he breaks down very practically what it means to walk worthy of this gift of salvation that we've been given as Christians. This is an important thing to keep in mind. This list is impossible without God's Spirit in our life. You can kind of fake it for a little while, but unless you have God's supernatural power empowering you, you cannot walk in these things. This list reminds us of Galatians chapter 5 and the fruits of the Spirit: humility, gentleness, patience, love. So first, humility. Humility is lowering yourself. It means a lowliness. There wasn't even a word in the Roman culture at this time for humility or lowliness. So either Paul or one of the early Christians invented this word, lowliness, literally lowering yourself. You think of the other verses in the Bible that say, lower yourself so God doesn't have to lower you. Lower yourself so that God will elevate you at the right time. If you're going to work well with Christians, you need to make a conscious decision to lower yourself, to lower your wishes, your desires, your opinions to work with other people. And then he says gentleness. That is not weakness. Gentleness means power under control. Think of a giant, powerful, like Clydesdale horse, big, massive, strong animal being led by a bridle and a bit in its mouth. That is what gentleness means. It's meekness. It's power under control. We are strong, we have power, but we're willing to be led. And then patience, literally long-suffering. When we go to Draper, there's going to be more people, more thoughts, more ideas. There's going to be things that we don't agree with. What has blessed me, though, is if we're going to walk into this, we got to model patience. And I have seen my co-pastors model this the last couple months as we've been working through this decision, praying and talking, discussing, seeking counsel. I've seen humility and gentleness and patience. And all of this is following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He made the universe. He made the galaxy. He made the solar system. He made the planets. He made the dwarf planets. He made the sun. He made all of it. And he chose to humble himself and become a man to save us. We're going to be tested in all this stuff, but I believe that God wants to use this move to grow us more like Christ. And then verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So in the church, God has brought all these different people together, different races, male, female, different socioeconomic groups, different political parties, different sports teams. He's brought different church ministry models together. God has brought us all together through his Spirit. And one of our highest duties as a Christian is to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to work to be at peace with one another. It is so easy for Christians to war with each other. There can be misunderstandings, hurt feelings, and it is our duty to battle to be at peace with one another. Nothing destroys unity faster than complaining or bickering. We're going to have differences, and when we have differences, our flesh wants to be like, I'm going to run out and form a new group. You understand that there's enough sinfulness in my heart and in your heart to destroy our families and our church. We need to work to maintain this bond of peace. So what are the words that stand out to us in this passage? Humility, love, bearing with one another, unity. He's talking about how all of these things are our duty and how we're supposed to walk in them as Christians. So how do you illustrate unity and humility? Let's talk about Kevin Durant. No booze, please. First, the backstory. So two summers ago, the Cleveland Cavaliers were down 3-1, and no team in the history of the NBA had ever come back from a 3-1 deficit until this guy right here, the man, the myth, the legend, LeBron James, single-handedly with Kyrie Irving, led the team back, and they won in Game 7. This is considered maybe the pivotal play of the whole series when he blocked Andre's shot, and they won the series. Okay, we all remember that backstory. So less than an hour after this loss, where Golden State was the first team to ever be defeated after being up 3-1, one of the Golden State Warriors players sent a text to this guy, superstar Kevin Durant, and he said this. He said, "See what we're missing? We need you. Make it happen." And so Kevin Durant left his team in Oklahoma City. He signed a deal with Golden State. Remember, the Golden State Warriors had barely lost in the NBA Finals to the Cavs. He's a superstar in Oklahoma City. So he is moving to a great team that has tons of superstars. And here's a picture of Golden State's practice facility. And I love his attitude. When he showed up here in downtown Oakland, after practice, the stars of the Golden State Warriors go scatter and they just take one star per hoop. And then the rest of the team, like the other 7-8 guys, all pack into one hoop to shoot. So Kevin Durant shows up. He's been a star in Oklahoma City. There's no hoop for him. He just humbly jumps in with the rest of the team and shoots on one hoop. And I loved his quote here. He said this, "I didn't want anybody to cater to me. I wanted to add value to the group instead of crushing the group and forming another one. I wanted to conform to the culture they built there, but doing that while being authentic to yourself is a very fine line." I love his humility and attitude in this. First, the humility to not insist on his own way. I don't need my own hoop. I'll just shoot with the rest of the team right here. And then I love his attitude. Let's conform to the culture. Let's make it a better culture, but also stay true to yourself. Kevin Durant is a small picture of what Jesus is talking about in Philippians chapter 2, where the God of the universe humbled himself to become a man to save us. And we'll come back to that. So that is the line we are walking. We want to bring our servant's heart, our shepherding, our community. We don't want to act like we know everything. We want to go in there. We are just here to bless the whole church. We are just here to love the whole church, to use our gifts to make the church stronger. It's the spirit of Ephesians chapter 4. It's what Kevin Durant modeled, and obviously it's what Jesus Christ modeled. It's what we need to model. So I have a few practicals. I want to hit through a bunch of different areas here. So on the back of your handout, here's the timeline again. So next week, September 15th, Friday night, we're going to meet here for a pizza party. We're just going to all hang out. The kids will be playing in the back. We're going to eat pizza. We're going to talk. We're going to enjoy fellowship. And then I think it'd be good for us to pray a little bit. We're just going to celebrate what God has done these last couple years. And then the following week, September 23rd, that's a Saturday. We'll be in Draper at 6 p.m. Bill will be teaching on Philippians. So put that in your calendar. The church is going to switch nights in 2 weeks. So you'll show up on a Friday and be like, "Where is everybody? We won't be here." I'm going to talk about small groups. We're going to continue to do our small groups. I'm going to keep leading my small group. Paul and the Karsts are going to lead theirs. The Hans and Becky are going to lead theirs. We're going to keep doing small groups on the second and fourth Wednesday like we did last year. Like Brian said, we're going to be studying Philippians. It'll be a good book for you. If you need a book to study this fall, I would suggest getting into Philippians in your quiet times. Between small group and church, you just get soaked in Philippians. It's tremendous. So next Wednesday, in just a few days, we're going to start off Philippians chapter 1. Your small group leaders will contact you. And so here's the change. Krista alluded to it. So this will be the pattern. So the first Monday of the month, the men are going to meet in Draper for the men's meeting. And then the second Wednesday, small group. The third Monday will be the women's meeting. And the fourth Wednesday will be small group. That's also on the back of your handout. And like Krista said, it would be awesome if like a big old chunk of women show up to the women's meeting and a big old chunk of men show up to the men's meeting. And like Krista also said, she was stealing all my points. It'd be a great opportunity to carpool. And go, "Oh, I live by this guy. We should carpool together and drive there and talk and pray and connect and make use of this time." I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, and not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Again, as pastors, one thing that blesses us to no end is the incredible community in this church. I would encourage all of you to lean into these changes. Go to small group. Men, go to the men's meeting. Women, go to the women's meeting. Lean into these. Don't neglect the habit of meeting together. Our church family's moving. We've done community well. If you wake up disconnected in 6 months, it's because you did not lean in to these changes. Do not neglect the habit of meeting together. I like to talk about the servants here. The very fact that we have done church on a Friday night is a testimony to your servants' hearts. We do a service project, a bunch of you show up. We do an outreach project, a bunch of you show up. We need to bring that same attitude as we transition to Draper. You guys are eager to serve. You're eager to get involved. You have a good attitude. You cover for each other. When there's a need, you guys step up and fill that need. So I've been talking to the Friday night coordinators. I've been talking to the Saturday night coordinators. We're going to be contacting all of you that are faithfully serving about specific roles that you can step into in Draper. There are slots and needs for us in every single ministry on a Saturday night in Draper. Some of you may be leading ministries in Draper in very near future. There's a big West-shaped hole for us when it comes to serving on Saturday nights. I'd like to talk about childcare. We have about 40 kids. They have about 40 kids. That's about 80 kids we're combining in 2 weeks. We're doubling our kid count. So the first few weeks of childcare are going to be a little crazy. We're just going to have 80 kids cycling through the normal classes they do. We'll survive. And then in October, we're going to add a number of new classes and new teachers and get into a rotation. So I would encourage all of us to be really patient as we figure out the serving schedule and the rotation. And you guys, some of you will be serving in October. We just need you to hit the ground running there. So we're going to model patience and humility. Look at this amazing verse in Psalm 100, verse 2. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." So church, keep doing what you're doing. You guys serve the Lord with gladness. Like Krista said, like 30 of you work in childcare. Krista mentioned to me, she said, "You know, I've been leading childcare for 10 years, and this is the best group of workers that she's ever had." It's because you guys serve with gladness. I see it with coffee and setup and tear down and cleaning and media and all of it. You guys serve with gladness week to week. So lean into this transition. Continue to serve with gladness. There are big areas where we're going to need to just model humility and love. We can't be like, "Well, no, that's not how we do setup. We know how to do coffee. This is wrong. This is not the right way to do childcare." No, we lean into this by continuing to serve the Lord with gladness. And then look at Philippians 2:3. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Easier said than done, counting others better than yourself. I believe that's what Kevin Durant modeled when he moved to Golden State. That needs to be our attitude as we're figuring out these ministries and expectations. We are going to be an incredible blessing to Draper if we come in with the attitude of, "Show me how you want it done. Great, I'm on it. I'll get it done." Another thing we appreciate about you guys is your incredible shepherd's heart. Like I said last week, I see you guys loving each other, meeting new people, loving each other. I don't see you sitting around ignoring people. When Billy or Brian and I have taught on a Saturday night, we are struck by how many new people there are on a Saturday night in Draper. I want us to bring the same shepherd's heart there. We have like 100 new names we need to learn. Let's go meet them. Let's invite them to hang out with us. Let's invite them to small group. Let's be like Timothy in this verse here in Philippians 2:20. "For I have no one like him," like Timothy, "who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." What made Timothy exceptional was that he was genuinely concerned about other people and not just wrapped up with his own stuff. That's the heart that we have modeled. I've seen you guys do it over and over again. Let's bring that to Saturday nights in Draper. Let's take an interest in people. Let's meet them. Let's learn their names. Let's invite them to small group. Some of you might be thinking, you might be tempted to think, "I'm going, but I'm not going to have an open heart." It's easy to come here on a Friday night because we know everybody. We know everybody's names. We can recognize who is new. It's more work when you don't know everybody's names. It's more work when you don't know who is new. Let's model the heart of Timothy right here. Let's have a genuine heart to love people and care for them. Our world is small. Our world is doubling. We don't need to be best friends with everybody, but we should get to know people. Let's have a race to see who can be the first person to learn 100 names on Saturday night. And then look at this verse in Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. Bottom line, Christian, is God is asking us to give. We are doubling our church world. And this verse says the righteous man or the righteous woman gives and does not hold back. There are people that have needs that God wants us to go love and bless and connect with. I saw an example of this last week here. Scott came up to me last week, and Scott's like, Josh, we're going to Draper. How are we going to meet new people? How are we going to connect with them? How are we going to let them not leave without us meeting them? I was like, slow down, Scott. But that is exactly what we need to have, a heart to love people and connect with them. This was actually a very easy message for me to write because you guys are all living this, and I have tremendous confidence that by God's grace, we're just going to walk right into this in 2 weeks. I hope you understand my Kevin Durant illustration. I am saying you guys are Kevin Durant. You guys are the all-stars. Keep doing what you're doing, loving people, shepherding them, serving. So I thought it'd be a good idea to hear from some of the Draper pastors. Billy and Brian and I aren't going anywhere. We're going to continue to pastor and shepherd and lead you guys through this transition and beyond. We're going to be meeting with you and talking with you, hanging out with you and counseling you. But Bill and Mac and Steele and Tony are going to become your shepherds in a much more practical week-to-week way. They have been shepherding you guys from a distance for years. But they're good men. They love Jesus. I admire their faith. Last week, Mac shared his thoughts. He's excited to have us. Steele was talking about Christmas drugs. He is also excited. I thought it'd be good to hear from Tony and Bill. Tony, you want to go ahead?
So, for those who don't know who I am, I'm Tony, and one of the pastors, I was at the Salt Lake location before we closed that down, and we folded into Draper, and so we did this about a year ago. I just got a couple things that I want to share, and first, Josh, that's a pretty lofty goal, 100 names. I don't think I can remember 15 names on a daily basis, so anyway, that's a really awesome goal, and if you guys can do that, I think it will bless you as well as the Salt Lake guys, or the Draper guys, but you know, a year ago, we were kind of in the same boat. Me and Steele in Austin downtown, and we ended up closing that location. We moved into Draper, and it was kind of a scary thing, especially we put a lot of time and energy into that building, a lot of energy into our people, and we lost some people in the transition, and a lot of people came, and it was awesome to have those people with us. And as you guys transition, one thing you can do for one another that's big is really just be there for one another, because it is strange. It's a little different. You got to get your, it's like sea legs, and you got to figure that out. So be there for one another, and that will really, really be helpful in all that is going on. So a few things I just want to talk about. First is Psalm 37, 5 through 7. And this kind of goes along with what Josh talked about last week in the service, but it was commit and wait. So commit everything you do to the Lord, trust Him, and He will help you. I just wrote this. I said, this verse is very comforting. We all have so much going on in our lives with our jobs, families, hobbies, kids, sports, activities, church. And your specific list could even go longer than that. But how often do we pray and commit everything to the Lord? And so with this transition, this is one of those things where I would challenge you all just to continually pray and commit it to the Lord and ask what the Lord can do with you when you go into Draper. And the one thing that's been awesome that also I wanted to talk about was, since we've been able to like bring our staff together and our pastors together more, it's putting us as a staff and pastors and deacons in a place of strength that we've never had before. And it's been really awesome to be able to like focus on specific things. And like as a pastor, one of my other roles is a creative director. And now I'm not as spread as thin. I can focus on doing a lot more creative work than I did before when I was just in Salt Lake. And Steele, it's like you see him focusing just on worship, and it's an amazing thing. And Mac with the CARES ministry. And all of a sudden, it's actually opening up more ministry, whereas you're like, oh, well, if we combine, we're not going to be needed there. But actually, we actually need you guys there. Amen. You guys are going to be a huge help. And you guys, as Josh mentioned, have such a good heart for people, and it's just going to be amazing to have you guys there, just in that capacity alone. So now it's like we can have this position of strength within our staff and our deacons and our pastors. And then the next thing, what it's actually been helping us do is have more vision, because now we can focus on those things even more so and look further down the road. Whereas before, some of us were just kind of, I mean, to be honest, just spread thin, and we couldn't do that. It was really hard for us to start casting vision and get ahead of things. And what that does for all of us is it helps us reach our one goal. Do you guys know what our vision statement is of our church is? That's awesome. You guys know it. One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. That's a huge thing. And so when you're coming to Draper, keep that in mind, because you can change one life by talking to somebody that you don't know who's a new person. You can change their life, and that could eventually affect the entire world. And so just keep that in mind as you're coming. And now we have that focus with more discipleship. We can have these really, really good programs and whatnot. But honestly, guys, I'm so, so excited for you guys to come to Draper. I know it's scary. I know it's going to be weird. It's awkward. It really is. Trust me. When we transitioned from Salt Lake, it was different. But in all reality, now I look back a year ago, and I'm like, this was the best thing that we could ever know. So it's awesome. So love you guys. If you want to get to know me more, just come talk to me. I'd love to get to know you too. And I'll just do one plug. If you are creative or you like media tech stuff, come talk to me. We'd love for you to serve in that area, because we always need lighting guys, presentation guys, audio guys, and designers, creatives, whatnot. So, all right. And then we have Bill come up. He's going to finish it up.
Yeah. Hi guys. You know, I always say, this is my favorite group to speak to. Don't I always say that when I'm here on Friday nights? But you know what? You know what? I've never said this is my favorite building to speak in. This is my favorite city to speak in. I hope you understand when I say that every time I teach here, I mean it, because it's the people. You are my favorite people to speak to. It doesn't matter what night it is. So here's a little secret. I'm not sure if the recording is each other recording up here. When you're there Saturday night and I'm teaching and I look out on the crowd, you guys are my favorite. Just so you know that, okay? You're still my favorite because it's about the people, isn't it? It's not about a location. It's not about a city. It's not about a night. My favorite people. You really are. God has blessed you guys so much. You're such sweet people, and you've been on a mission for 2 years. You've been working hard, and the mission continues. All right? The mission continues. And I just want to share one verse that, well, a section of verses that God has been challenging me with, because even as I founded this church almost 20 years ago in my living room, and a lot of the vision, especially in those early years, was God was... It was driven through me, and I got to be honest, the way things have gone down the last 2 years is not what I had envisioned. I'm not saying it's bad, it's just not the way I had saw things or planned things. I'm a planner. You know, 2020, 20 services by the year 2020, that's the way I see it, but that's not the way it's happening. Is that okay? Well, man, I've had to wrestle with that personally. Like, you guys have had to wrestle with some things. I've had to wrestle with this myself. And God has helped me with some verses here in Acts, even as I'm preparing to teach through Philippians. It's the section where Paul and Silas, they get a plan. They have a plan, and their plan is to go visit all the churches they planted on their first missionary journey. This is their second missionary journey. So they're going to go visit them all, which is a great plan. I'm sure they got... You know, a Google Maps out, and they mapped it all out just like I would. They probably had a file folder on where they're going to stop, and they had all their, you know, hotel rooms planned out just like I would. All these churches. So they head out. They're heading west. They go up from Jerusalem. They head west into Asia Minor, into present-day Turkey, and they visit the churches. They meet Timothy, and Timothy gets saved, and Timothy is now traveling with them. And they get to a certain point, and their roadmap, you know, goes one way. It tries to go one way. And let me read it to you. I'll read the story, just a section here. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia,
having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Did you catch that? God stopped them from going. He stopped them along the way. He made them not go the way that their Google Maps told them to go. Their phone was saying go this way, and the Holy Spirit somehow stopped their iPhone and said, you can't go that way. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit stopped them. Okay, well, that's not what we had planned. It says, when they came to the border of Mysia, so that was going south. They wanted to go south, and the Holy Spirit said no. And this says, okay, we'll go north. So when they came to the border of Mysia, which is north, they tried to enter Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they wanted to go south, and the Spirit wouldn't let them. They wanted to go north, and the Spirit wouldn't let them. So I would be frustrated at this point if I'm Paul. If he's like me at all, I'd be frustrated because I had a plan. And I knew what it looked like, and I knew how it was going to roll out, and I know how to work the plan. I've been doing it for a while. And all of a sudden, my plans are changed, not by me, not because I've done anything wrong, not because it hasn't been fruitful all along the road here. I've been fruitful in the churches we visited and planted churches. We saw Timothy saved. So many good things are happening, yet all of a sudden, there's a roadblock. Two different ways I want to go. God says, you can't go that way. I got a different plan for you. But he didn't know what the plan was, so he had a plan. He got shut down two times. He goes to bed without a plan, which is always disconcerting for planners, to go to bed without a plan. But here's what happens. Okay, so he's heading west. He can't go south. He can't go north. And then this happens while he's sleeping. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. We need help. It's a vision. And Paul, after Paul has seen the vision, that's what's cool here. So he wakes up with this vision. He didn't have a plan going to bed. When he wakes up, he has a plan because God gave it to him. After he'd seen the vision, he says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And I love that. That's been helping me. Because it helps me see, you know, I'm not a sheep herder, but I imagine Josh's dad is a sheep herder. But it's almost as if the great chief shepherd was herding Paul. Like, no, go, there's a gate right there. I want you to go to Macedonia. And God shepherded, and God corralled Paul and Silas and Timothy to go to Macedonia, which is where they went to Philippi, which is where they saw Lydia saved, which started a great church that ended up having elders and deacons and bishops and leaders. God did a great work, but that was not the plan. The plan ended up being different. God's plan, like Josh talked about last week, was different than Paul's plan. Now here's I just want to say this simply. It didn't mean Paul did anything wrong. It didn't mean Paul was a failure with all the church plants and all the people he had met and all the blessings and all the visitors and everything that God did. There's been no failure in this church. God just has a different plan. There's been no failure in the Rock Church. In fact, we're going to be stronger than we ever have been, like Tony said. That's absolutely true. It's not that we did anything wrong or had a wrong plan. It was a godly plan. It was a good plan. What we did for the last 2 years here was awesome. God bless it so much. Now all I see him doing is taking a crack team. This is not, don't see yourself as the broke uncle that needs to move into your basement. You're coming back to Draper, and you're the brother that nobody wants. You know, you're just kind of, okay, I guess they got to come. That's not the way it is at all. Think of it more like in military terms. You are the crack team. You are the crack unit that we need back in Draper to come together with the rest of your army. You guys are the stud army. You are the guys and the gals that we need to come back and fight with us because we are on mission together. That's the way you should see yourself. In no way lesser, in no way shame. You come with your heads held high, and we are going to together rock this valley. We're going to do that. We're absolutely going to do that. And I believe it. And I also want to mention, it's somewhat ironic that God put on my heart early this summer. I traveled a lot this spring. I was in China. I was all over the place. And too much, I felt God convicted me. He said, Bill, you got to be teaching more. I mean, it's so great to have everybody teach, but in Draper, I felt like we needed some ballast. We needed some steadiness. I needed to teach more. So it was a personal challenge, and it was personal God telling me. So I asked the other pastors if I did most of the Philippians series. This was before any decisions had been made. And I bring this up because I don't want you to think that when you come to Draper, it's the Bill Show and that's all you're ever going to hear teach. You're never going to hear your pastors teach again. That's not the case. It just happened that God convicted me that I need to be teaching more, so I was going to take the bulk of the Philippians series. But I just want you to know, again, that your pastors will be teaching. Okay, it's just I feel convicted personally that I needed to teach more, so I'm going to do a lot of this series. That's all it is, okay? It's not that Josh and Brian and Billy aren't going to teach. I just want you to know that. They will. We decide that as pastors. That's not my decision. We decide that all together. And they gave me permission to do a bulk of it because I felt like I needed to. So, anyway, that encouraged me. I am excited about you guys coming. I'm excited about your attitude. I'm excited about your hard work. I'm excited to see what God's going to do, to be back together. And never forget, on Saturday nights, or if you come Sunday morning, when I look out in the audience and I'm teaching, you are always my favorite. Amen. Amen. Josh?
So, super duper practical details to conclude. So, Saturday night, 6 p.m., it's on a weekend. Traffic is easier. When we drive over there on Saturday nights, it's a little bit easier. I want to talk about the drive time real quick. So, I have one of the farthest drives of any of you. So, it takes me 26 miles round trip to get here. It's 46 miles to Draper. That's 20 more miles of driving. My car conveniently gets 20 miles to the gallon. So that's one more gallon of gas I will be buying a week. I checked, it's $2.60. I do not know how big my crowns will be in heaven that I spent an extra $2.60 a week to be with my church family. So, go Josh, it's not the gas, it's the time. It's going to take me an extra 20 minutes of driving round trip to get to Draper from my house out in West Valley. That's an episode of The Office. So I will be giving up an episode of The Office and a gallon of gas to be with my church family once a week. So join me in earning some killer eternal crowns. But seriously, driving 20 more minutes could translate to praying on the way to church that God would bless it. It could translate to talking to your spouse or your kids when you're driving home. Kids, what'd you learn in Sunday school? And 6 p.m. church, I had a couple thoughts on that. So last week, I took my family to church on Saturday night to get used to it. We had to eat dinner at like 4:30 in the afternoon, which is like old people dinner time. But most of you eat dinner after church anyway, so it doesn't matter to you. But church runs from 6 to 7:30, so there's going to be tons of time to hang out and fellowship and talk and meet people and do something fun. And if you go out to eat afterward, you'll have an extra hour. And Saturday, you'll have like the day to rest for many of us. I think we'll quickly adjust to and like going to church on Saturdays, and I think an earlier time will promote all kinds of community. So like the guys were talking about, initially when we change something, it always feels a little weird, switching from Friday to Saturday, from 7 to 6, from Taylorsville to Draper. But in 2 weeks, like Bill said, we're not walking in like we're moving into our parents' basement. We're walking in like we own the place. It might be a little darker than we're used to. Your retinas will adjust. It might be a little louder than you're used to. Your earplugs will adjust. I think it would be pretty cool in 2 weeks if we're all just sitting front and center in the middle there. 100-some new people from West show up on a Saturday night, and we're just sitting there. We're singing loud. We're meeting people. We're not waiting for them to come meet us. Hang out, talk, love each other. Just do what you do, and you guys will own the joint in no time. And you guys remember the postscript on Kevin Durant? So they had some growing pains. They figured out how to work together as a team. And then this past year, they won the NBA Finals. And who was the MVP? Kevin Durant was the Finals MVP. Those who humble themselves, God elevates. You go, he didn't humble himself that much. He was shooting with NBA stars. But the hero in all of this is Jesus Christ. Jesus humbled himself, became a man. That's who we're following. This picture is violating Brian's conscience. So we will... we'll move on to this verse to end. Psalm 119:32. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. I think God has shown very clearly through these verses what he wants us to do, to be humble, to be gentle, to be gracious, to be unified, to be caring about others above our own needs. God has shown us his commandments. So this verse has a promise. If you run in the commandments that God has given you, that you've studied in the Word, you run in those commandments, God says, I will enlarge your heart. This is our promise. God has shown us very clearly what we need to do. Be humble, be loving, serve, care for people. We run in those commands and God's going to enlarge our heart. I'll pray and we'll be done. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for a chance to meet here and discuss your word, Lord. I thank you for what you have done through this body the last couple years, Lord. We ask that you would just give us incredible grace these next couple weeks as we transition to Draper. God, I thank you for all the grace you've given us these last 2 years and these last few weeks, Lord. We pray that you would help us to be humble, help us to be eager to serve, help us to have open hearts to meet people, help us to walk in there ready to bless Draper's socks off, Lord. I ask that you would use this to strengthen your church in ways we can't even imagine, and that you would save a whole bunch of people and you would reach this state with the gospel. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.